So my job is to deal with how to select a theme, and I've tried to link the workbook with the textbook that we're using, because they are using different words for different things, or different words for the same thing. So in the workbook and in the PowerPoint, it's using the word a theme, but in this book it uses something completely different. Okay, so we'll be looking at how that works. But first of all, a little bit of work for you. I hope this works. Faulty Towers?
Trouble is, I mean, none of those type of programs on there interested me. Not that kind of, not that sort of genre.
I did this with another church with the full lot, all 25, yes. And I didn't realise that nobody in the congregation had ever watched telly. They just didn't watch telly. They didn't have tellies. But what does a music theme for a television program do to you or for you? This is the point. It's not the theme. Yeah. What does a TV theme do to you or for you?
It's catchy.
It's catchy? Yeah. Right. What does catchy do to you? It does nothing for you. So if you had no music at all, you'd be fine. Right,
yeah.
Grabs your attention. Right, okay. It grabs your attention. It makes you say, "Oh, I'm going to come in to watch this."
Yeah.
Okay, is that what a sermon theme does for you? Oh, a catchy title. Let's go through these. Topic, title, theme, right? A title is one thing. I remember one title from years ago, The Devil on the Dole. What's it about? No idea. Devil. It was thought of as a really, really good title for a sermon. Okay. Devil on the Dole? Come on, it's dead easy. You know what Bible text this refers. It's a whole chapter of the Bible. Any idea? No? Revelation 20? Devil on the Dole? You've never heard that before.
You said
devil. Yeah, the devil on the dole. He's chained. He's got no work to do. He's got no way. A title is not always the big issue, right? It attracts your attention, but doesn't necessarily tell you anything. It may accurately suggest the theme, but not all titles do. It is for publicity, so in your bulletin for the Sabbath morning, or in the email that you send out on the Friday night saying, the sermon for today is the devil on the dole. You can use it in publicity. But it doesn't actually necessarily tell you much. It can be announced at the beginning of the sermon. The title of my sermon this morning is The Devil on the Dole. But it doesn't tell you much. On the other hand, a theme does rather more. So it outlines the whole sermon. It gives you an idea of what's coming. The devil on the dole, well, that's one thing, but the theme tells you what we're trying to say today is that there will come a period of time when God's people change all of their circumstances. They go from unhappiness on earth to great happiness with God. That is more of a theme. And it's more helpful to you. Okay? It helps you as a congregation know where you're going. What does it do for the preacher? Thank you. It disciplines you, it keeps you within it. It helps you know where you're going. Okay, I know that if I have a theme for my sermon and I write it down before I start writing my sermon, I know that at the end of the sermon I'm going to fulfill my theme. It helps me, it disciplines me, it makes me say, Peter, this is where we're going. If I don't have a theme, I can wander all over the place. And probably never even get where God wanted me to be. We need a theme. A theme is really important. It is your statement of purpose. You write it down and say, this is what we're going to do this Sabbath morning. Okay? So does that mean it's a good sermon or a bad sermon? Yeah. You need a theme. You need to know where you're going, because if you don't, the congregation don't understand. And that's why, I mean, I was a bit sort of frightened by Emmanuel saying last week, a sermon takes about 8 hours to prepare. I have to say, I take a lot longer than 8 hours. Okay? I come from a radio background. And the normal recommendation is you're going to speak for 1 minute, you do 1 hour of preparation. My sermons tend to be about 20 minutes long. That's 20 hours work. That's not 20 hours in the week. That's 20 hours of thinking and preparation and things that you pick up. Yeah. Which means that the sermon you scribble hastily on a Friday night probably hasn't got a theme, probably hasn't got any research, and the Lord is saying, I pray that he's going to say what I want him to say. Okay? You need a theme. It can be stated somewhere in your introduction, but not always. The point is, you need to know where you're going as the preacher, and your congregation needs to know where they're going to end up. Okay? Now, sermon theme should be, we're going to fly through this. If you go through to your worksheet here, you'll see on the notes, page 23, what a theme should be. And I'll now give you a little bit of a guideline here. Page 23, have you got it? Additional notes. And it starts, the sermon proposition. There are different words that preachers use when they're trying to teach about themes. One is theme. Another is the proposition of your sermon should be this. I'll be introducing you to something else. But here, the sermon proposition, it should be biblical. It should be important and relevant to the needs of the congregation. should be definite and clear, uncluttered by abstract language or literary embellishments. In other words, it's simple, something you can understand. Should be accurate and honest and not promise more than the preacher can produce. It should be interesting so that the listener is encouraged to want to listen to the development of the theme in the sermon. It should be usually be stated in the present tense. So, it's what God does for us today, and not what God did for Moses centuries ago. So, a sermon theme. Jesus helped Peter when he was thinking is a valid statement, but for a sermon thesis, proposition, or theme, or for its big idea, in the storms of your life, your Saviour is preset to help you. And we won't go through what different forms it takes. So, we've rushed through that bit. And there's a reason for it. We had a big experience in Scunthorpe last time we met. And we realised, or our group of students realised, but Pastor, we want to know how to create a sermon. We don't just want theory. So I could go through using the old PowerPoint and using the old book and just go through, this is what a theme is, this is what it does. What I'm going to do with you this morning is slightly different. You are going to be creating a theme. So my theme for today, my proposition for you, is we're going to create a theme together. We'll make it practical. Behi.
So what is the link between a theme and a title?
A title is just something that catches the attention quickly. It may be related. The important thing is the theme, the proposition. The title is just something you put in the bulletin to prick people's ears up. And I have to say that Behi, you'll know from I was your pastor over in Lincoln. I never ever had a title. I used to have themes and everybody knew what the theme was, but I never used a title. Because one, you can either have a title that's catchy, The Devil on the Dole, which tells you nothing, or if I was to use a theme or a title, I would say, How to Be a Christian. Okay, on the back row. Yes, but you kind of got the thought, he must have spent hours on that title and how much on the theme. But this is the idea here. Your theme, your proposition, your big idea, that should be something that really comes from the Bible passage. It tells you what you're working on. It gives you your guidance, it gives you your raison d'etre, it helps you, it guides you, it's whatever. The title, personally, I think it should actually do something, it should express something. But a theme is much more comprehensive, it's a bit longer, and someone who's writing at the bulletin will say, I wish Pastor would stop doing all these long titles, I can't fit them in. The important thing, Behi, is the theme. Sorry, that one, that's...
I guess that applies for lots of views of service.
Yes. Yes. You could use, you know, the same title, part one, part two, part three, but the theme is going to be different each way through.
So, have you got to have a title? Have you got to have a title? Because sometimes...
Emmanuel. I come from a church. It has been very rare for me to be in a church where they have bulletins and things like that. So I've never needed a title. Okay? The churches I've been pastor of are usually small churches. Pastor, we can't afford to do a bulletin. We haven't got that much money. Emmanuel.
Yeah,
Should a sermon have a title?
I've always had titles for sermons, to be honest. The reason being is because I think people, this is the frame of mind that people have in the 21st century. You know, as soon as you say a phrase, people think of something. Yeah. And that's the only purpose of it. And especially when you read the memory text, people try to make the link between your title and the memory text before you even start to preach.
Okay.
And it builds the expectation. Yes.
Okay. So perhaps I need to start thinking more about using a title as well. But I promise you, I always have a theme. It's always there. It's always stated. The congregation know where I'm going. Okay. The young lady behind Behi. Right. Okay.
I think you've got to compatibility.
Yeah.
You might compatibility within a theme.
No, actually, now this is the difference. You don't have a title or a theme. The important thing is to always have a theme. And if you've got a theme, you can have a title. But you can't have a title and no theme.
Okay.
Right? If you're going to have a title, you've still got to have the theme. I will always, always have the theme. My theme will always come from the scripture that I'm using. Okay? I want to move on now. In our textbook, rather than the workbook, it uses the title. Instead of theme, it talks about take home truth, and actually that expresses it well. On my computer it works with themes, and it's just the different color sets it uses. But a take home truth says to me, at the end of the sermon, when I go home, I can take home this truth with me. This is what the sermon was all about. I can remember that. The first time I went to church in a Seventh-day Adventist church was 37 years ago. I was 22. Huh. Well, am I right? Yes, 22. Yes, I was 22 when that happened. And I can still remember the pastor's sermons. Certainly the first one. I can even remember what he wore. And I can't even remember what I wore yesterday, let alone... But I can remember what he wore. But he had a theme, and he stated his theme so accurately I could take it home, and I could tell my dad what it was all about. He wasn't impressed. But it impressed me. Okay? Now, we need to do more than just observe the theory, so we're going to work on a theme. The take-home truth is to the sermon what the spine is to the skeleton, or the foundation is to the house. It holds it upright. It holds things together and helps to determine what the final sermon will become. So the question for you is, when do you create the theme? When do you create that take-home truth? Do you do it before the sermon is written, or do you do it after the sermon is written? When?
Well, I think it depends on the text that, well, the passage or text that you are.
Right.
And as you read through that, then you select the theme.
Thank you. And then you write the sermon. The theme, the take-home truth, is what you arrive at after doing your research on the text. You don't write your sermon, oh, that's brilliant, oh, thank you for those words, and think, right, I'll slot the theme in at the end. No, no. You do your research. You do your prayer. You do your thinking. You do your working. You do your asking of God. You create your theme. And then you write your sermon. Okay? Now we're going to create a take-home text together. I hope you've got Bibles. And you are going to be working in pairs. If not, you'll have to put up with this small writing here. Second. When I'm teaching, you will need Bibles. Okay. Second Corinthians 12, verses 7 to 10. I think this is New International Version. But you'll already have read in the textbook, you'll have already have worked out that when you are researching a sermon, you don't use one Bible. You definitely use... Yes, okay. You definitely use Numbers. Let's read this. To keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassingly great revelations, there was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That's why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong." This is a passage taken out of the textbook. Chapter 4, I think, or is it chapter 7? You will either have read it or you will have worked on it. So, you know, we're going through what you already know or will soon meet. I think it's a lovely passage. By the way, when I'm working on a sermon, because I know that I need to get my brain working, I do not read the Bible to myself. I always read it out loud. And wife's saying, "Are you talking to yourself again?" I read the Bible out loud. The brain processes things differently to the when you read it out loud to when you read it to yourself. You need to then, for me, I would then take that Bible text and I will write it out by hand. I will not use cut and paste. I will use an ordinary biro and a piece of paper and I'll write it out. And I'm all the way thinking it through. I'm praying it through. Even before I start opening concordances or other books, my brain will have started processing what I've heard, what I've worked on, and what I've thought through. Your task, I'm going to give you 5 minutes, and you need to do this in pairs. Okay? I want you to do this in pairs. Is turn that passage into a passage outline. Do you know what that means? A passage outline is this. You turn that into your language. You're going to chop that down into 37 words. In this case, 37 words. And you're going to express the whole thought of that passage, what it's saying. You've got 5 minutes. Okay, let's see what you've got. Okay? I'd like three people to volunteer what they have made of the passage. Three people to volunteer. One of whom must be a lady, one of whom at least must be a lady. Okay. Volunteer. Yeah.
Then my brother, we come up with the theme, glory in weakness.
Oh, right. Okay. You weren't supposed to go that far on, but that's okay. That's all right. And the passage outline says this. Okay, right, enough. Now that's not the outline, that's a mini sermon. But you've expressed that quite well. Well, I wanted it in 36 to 40 words, you've done about 60. I'm trying to save you ink. Another two. A gentleman, please be brave. I have found that men are usually the least brave at these kind of things.
You're right.
Monica.
To prevent me from becoming elated out, a problem which the thorn was given me for Satan to harass me. I then prayed to God for deliverance, and he granted me his grace to strengthen me.
That's a nice one. I like that. Well done. Very nice. So it's just rephrased the passage. That's all you're doing. But you're making it your own. Okay, another one. Now, this has to be a man. You know, they're all so desperate to do it that I could volunteer somebody. Come on, Behi.
It's not even to put it down as intimate, but when we come out to it, it's like the messenger of Satan is troubling me. And because I know the truth, I ask God to give me power to overcome. And God says, my grace is enough to make you through. Even though I'm suffering from all these things.
Okay. Fair enough. You skipped a step. You're beginning to turn into a theme already. But this really helps. Pastor Howarth is the master at this. When he first became a Christian, he decided, I'm going to rewrite the Bible in his own words. Now, I don't know how far he got through, but I do know some of his rewritings were really powerful. It does help you to jump out of 2,000 years ago, bypass 1611, and jump into 2013. This is the write-up in the book. The reason Paul ceased his earnest prayer for the thorn's removal and began instead to value it was because he learned that the thorn was keeping him from exalting himself and was making him strong for God. That is not the right passage outline. That is his passage outline. Your passage outline is equally valid. Because it comes from your own experience. It comes from the own way that God has communicated with you. But the point is, you've expressed that text, you've worked on it, and you've thought it right well. Okay? You haven't done any research on the text yet, but you've seen something of God at work. Okay? But it's not the take-home truth for the sermon. You're going to turn that into a truth about the passage. On here,
small piece of paper. I'm giving you one each using that passage outline. And you're being individual. This, I tell you, this helps. This really does help. I have not always been using this theme. I read through the book and thought, I'm going to use this, and it created the best sermon I've ever did.
You've all got the same.
You've all got the same.
Right, so we're going to read this.
You're going to read that.
And then rephrase it.
And you're going to rephrase it in a particular way.
As it says on the bottom, turn this into a passage that makes this into a truth for all people. And so, you want it to say, this is what we should do. And I want you to start this way. Instead of, and you're going to take those words into a short take-home truth. A theme that you would incorporate into your research. Okay? It's quite a tough question I'm asking you to do.
No.
Now, I want you to do it now.
No.
It's quite tough. There is no right answer, there is no wrong answer. But you're going to, and Emmanuel, I'll give one to you as well. So we're all on the same footing. And I'll do one too. Take that theme, take that out, passage outline, and turn it into something that says, this is what we should do. And you start with, instead of. Please read your results, please. I'm sorry, I haven't
Joan.
Worked. Joan.
It's Joan, yeah.
I know, right.
Central.
Yeah. Okay, good. I have to say that mine's a lot shorter than that. I'll tell you what I've come up with. Instead of worrying about our present problems,
yes.
Recognize our present problems, make us strong for God.
Yes.
Please.
Instead of praying earnestly for God to take away the thorn, that is what we need. Give thanks to God for the strength to endure turbulence in your life.
Thank you. Pastor Brown, you finish very quickly.
Mm. You do remember I've got a session as well, and I have two questions. instead of bickering, why we can't do certain things? Let's appreciate.
Oh, interesting. I like that. Sorry. I know, look, Monica is one of the members at Netherfield, and she is one of these people who thinks, and I think, oh, I'm going to listen to her. Monica, tell us what you wrote. What you wrote, yes. Yeah. Right.
Over the top kind of thing. Instead of complaining, I learned from Paul's attitude to value regarding the problem, that by talking to God and allowing Him to give me strength, it showed me how I could best do.
Thank you. And so when you're preaching your sermon, you've got that theme, that take-home truth in the back of your mind, which you're going to get across to your congregation. They're going to know where they're going, you're going to know where you're going, and you will have a very good guide that's going to actually help somebody who's in the pew who may say, "Oh, life's been so hard this week." We all have those weeks. My wife has got a serious problem now. That outline, my take on that outline as well, has helped me. Because I know that no matter what thorns and problems I have in my life, through prayer, God will carry me through. Okay? So those are your results. The significance of the theme, we've nearly finished by the way, Manuel. The significance of the theme is to the sermon what the spine is to the skeleton or the foundation is to the house. It holds things together and helps to determine what the final sermon will become. The theme is your guide to the presentation of the sermon. Now, that's the end of my bit here. Emmanuel will take over. But I want to add something else. Again, we had this raised at Scunthorpe. They're a really good group. They're not like you. You're asking questions as you go through. And I really appreciate that. They just sit there and they're soaking it all in and they work. This is, your attitude is excellent, right? But what they said afterwards was, "Pastor, this is just the theory. We want to know how to tear the Bible apart. We want to know how to understand a passage." So what I've done for you here is my simple outline of what I do when I am taking a passage apart. And it starts so easily, and I've demonstrated some of it for you. It is, I read the Bible passage out loud in different versions. I'm rather strange, sometimes I'll do it in French. Because that makes it, I've got to really process it. Okay, Revelation 20 in French is not fun. You do it in several versions. Then I write it out. I do not use cut and paste on the computer. It's the pen and the piece of paper.
I found the one said, when you're reading the Bible, you're planning a sermon, you must picture yourself.
Yes. Okay. Okay. Visualization. That's a nice way of doing it. Then the next step is to ask simple questions. And the simple questions are who, what, where, why, when, and how. And once you've got those questions, then you start to understand what's going on. That's not the end of it, but it's giving you an idea of what the passage is about. You then may want to go to a concordance to check up some words. You may want to go to a Bible dictionary to explain something. You may want to go into a Bible commentary. But it all starts with understanding that passage by reading it through, saying to God, "I want to understand this." It's then up to you to start asking simple questions. Who, what, where, why, when, and how. Okay? So I'll give you one of these each, and then there's a short break now, and then Emmanuel will take over. We'll just change over computers. Thank you, everybody.